Good evening, church. When I was putting this together, I kept coming back to this subject. It's called the name of this message is called God Specializes. God is a specialist, and I kept trying to figure out why it kept taking me in this direction here tonight. Every testimony that we heard just reiterates the fact that God is a specialist. I need everybody to say, God is a specialist. God is a specialist. Mike's job, God is a specialist. You know, her retirement and getting the blessings that she needs. This man getting visited by, brother, that was the Holy Spirit. If you don't know it, I mean, I don't know why you ran out of the room. You're supposed to stay right there in there because that's what he wanted you to do. And he brought you right back in there, you know. That was the Holy Spirit, you know. So when I was growing up here in Duluth, I attended Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And I was a member of the church choir. I started singing when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I've been singing all my whole life. I think everybody's like me, and then I found out that everybody's not like me because I hear music all the time, and I thought everybody was like that. But anyway, I had this choir director. Her name was Almetra Robinson, you know, and she taught us this song that's called God Specializes. And the words in the words of the song, the first verse says, "Have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible, and he can do what no other one can do." So we're going to talk about four categories of things we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the first category is the promise, kindness, and forgiveness. And God is a specialist in these things. Rocky, can you pull up Genesis 18? 11 through 15. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, of being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" Sarah laughed. She laughed. He said, no, Sarah, you laughed. You laughed. The thing is that, you know, when God makes a promise, when God makes a promise, that promise is going to be fulfilled. And there is reciprocity attached to each and every promise that God makes. If you make a promise to God, in order to receive that blessing from that promise back, you have to do something. This takes me back to a time. 2012, I got convicted of first degree sales, and I've said this before, but when I got convicted, the judge sentenced me to 129 months, and I went back to the holding cell, waiting to go back up to the county, waiting to go to jail. And I sat in that cell and I cried. I cried and I cried out to God. I got down on my knees because I had just finished a 100-month sentence, not maybe a year and a half. And now here I am going back to prison for another 129 months. For those of you that don't know, that's 10 years and 9 months. So, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. I sincerely did not know how I was going to make it through that time. And so I got on my knees and I made a promise to God. I said, "Lord, if you just help me make it through this time, if you just help me make it through this time, I'll serve you for the rest of my life." But there was something attached to that promise, you see. There were things that I had to do once I got inside that prison to prepare me for today. I couldn't just go into prison and just do my time willy-nilly and then come out and God was going to fulfill that promise. There were things that I had to do. So when I got to prison, I got into my Bible. I got into going to church services. I got into doing all these things because I knew that in order, this is where the reciprocity comes in. I knew that if God was going to bless me and fulfill the promise to me, I had to fulfill my promise to him. So I started reading my Bible. I started doing everything that I had to do. And then things started happening. There are different things manifested themselves throughout this entire time of being there. The first 3 years I was in there, my family was so put out with me. They were so tired of me because I had broken. I'm going to do the other. And I broke those promises every time. So when I went back to this time, they said, that's it. They didn't answer my letters. I didn't even bother to call because I knew they weren't. This is a call from a Minnesota correctional facility. Will you please accept? I knew they were going to hang up. So I didn't even bother calling. You know, but the point I'm trying to make is that when you honor God and you do the things that you say you're going to do, then the reciprocity comes. Since I've gotten out, everything has changed. You know, he has fulfilled every promise. He has restored everything. Rocky, can you please pull up Genesis 45, 4 and 8? See, I know that there have been several instances in my life and probably in your lives also where God's promises came true. The thing that we have to grasp and understand that most about promises is that God, they may not happen when we want them to happen or in the manner that we intend that we feel as though they should, but they do happen and they do manifest according to God's will and in God's time. Many times we have to look back on the things that we were praying about or needed so badly in our lives to see those promises fulfilled. So this is a story about Joseph. When Joseph's brother sold him into slavery, and then he ended up in Egypt. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He ended up in prison for something that he didn't do. Then he ended up getting out of prison because two other prison people were in prison for something that they did do. But then they got out. And then Joseph's brothers finally came to him. Joseph's brothers came because there was a big famine in the land. And so this is where kindness and forgiveness comes in. Because Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and Joseph said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a prosperity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So even though what they meant for evil, God took it and turned it around for good because God is a kind God. He's a forgiving God. He grieves us when we do things that are outside of his will. But he also plants within us a heart of forgiveness. You know, I was very, very, very hard-hearted at different times in my life. And now my wife can't understand me sometimes because she does not understand where I have compassion for people that she may not want to have compassion for. You know, we were talking about, you know, about me doing this. And she said, are you a preacher? Or are you a teacher? And I didn't know, because I really don't consider myself to be a preacher. I'm just a guy that stands before you and one that has studied the Word of God and knows the Word of God. But I know that God's kindness and his goodness comes through us because it comes from him to us. So The second category we're going to talk about is provider and healer. Can you pull up Exodus? Can you pull up Exodus 22 through 25? Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Moriah, and they could not drink the waters of Moriah because they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Moriah. So the people grumbled at Moses in saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree and threw the water and threw it into the water, and the waters became sweet. Okay? Can you imagine that? How many times have we had something bitter in our lives? How many times have we had something in our lives that wasn't supposed to be there, but it was there for a reason, and then it got turned around? You know, God can turn things in your life all the way around in a manner that you don't even understand. You know, can you go to 1 Kings 17, 21 to 23? You see, God provided the water for them in the desert after they grumbled, after they complained, after all the things. He still was a provider. He still made a way for them because they had left Egypt. They had left everything behind. And then as soon as they got out of there, they started grumbling. They said, "You know what? Back in Egypt, we had a chicken in every pot. We had wheat. We had everything to eat." They forgot the fact that they had been slaves for years. They forgot all that. All they knew how to do was grumble, and God still provided for them, no matter what that they had done. So now we're going to go to First Kings. Then he stretched himself out upon the child and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray that you let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child was returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave the child to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." You see, what had happened was Elijah had come into this town, and he had asked the lady for something to eat. And she said, "I don't have anything to eat. All I have is a little flour and a little oil left in a jar. And after I make this for my son and myself, we're going to eat it and die." But they didn't die because God was the provider. But then the lady's son got sick. Her son got sick, and there was no life in him. And she had provided a room for Elijah to stay in. So Elijah went up to the room and laid the child on the bed and asked God to restore the life of the child. You see, God can restore things that no man can restore. He can give you things that nobody else can give you. He can heal you of things that nobody else can heal you of. You see, people have a hard time going to doctors sometimes, but you know what? Those doctors were ordained by God. You know, God put those doctors in the medical field to teach us. He made the plants and the herbs and all the things that the doctors use for our benefit. So can you go to the next scripture, Rocky? It is going to be Matthew 9, 20 through 22. A woman had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years and came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I can only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus turned and seeing her and said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. You see, a touch from God can do amazing things to you. A touch from God can change and manifest your life in ways that you would never, ever, ever imagine. You know, so many times God has saved, and I don't even understand this. I don't know why. I have to go back. You know, what I was doing, because like I said, I am not a preacher. So what I did for the last 2 weeks is I was listening to all these different preachers preach all these different sermons, because I knew that I had to kind of like figure out how to develop a style. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't develop a style. I just But you know, Pastor Harley and these guys, they all tell stories. And so, but and the stories are good because they show how God manifests himself in your lives and does things in your life. And I was thinking, man, do I have any cool stories like that? And so I was thinking, one time I went down, my ex-wife and my two oldest sons, they lived in Kansas City. And I was going to Kansas City to see them. And I was riding with my friend Corey, you know. And I was driving for a while, and then I let Corey drive. Well, Corey fell asleep, and the car went down into the ditch and came back up out of the ditch. And we stopped right on the highway. And I looked in front of us, and there was one of those great big freeway overpasses right there, made of cement. What if we'd have hit that? And then I looked behind us, and there was another one. So in between those two, the car went down into the ditch and came back up and stopped. So why did that happen? Why did that happen? Because God said, you know what? It's not your time. It's not your time. I have something greater and better planned for you, and it's not for you to go now. You know, and so let's move on. Acts 3, 2 through 7. A man had been lame from his mother's womb and being carried along, and they used to sit down every day at the gates of the temple called Beautiful in order to beg alms from those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began to ask to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." See, in each one of these situations, God proves once again that he's a specialist. I, like many people in here, have been in the wilderness several times in our lives. You know, we've walked in this wilderness, we've lived in this wilderness, and we wondered how we found our way out of the wilderness. You know, and okay, he did so that the people. Okay, but God provided for every one of my needs, in prison and upon release. He did so by the people he placed in my life. I admit I had to drink some pretty bitter water from time to time, but that bitter water was by my own doing. But once I truly surrendered, the water became sweet and has remained that way for several years. My addiction had me trapped for several years, just like the woman with the issue of blood. But when asked for a touch from his Holy Spirit, my addiction left and never returned. So just like that woman who had that issue all those years, she asked, she went to every doctor, she spent everything she had. I can't tell you the number of times. There are several of us in here who tried to get that monkey off our back. Oh man, we tried several times to get that monkey off our back, but we could not get it off. You know, but then once you lay it at God's feet, once you just truly lay it down and don't pick it back up, it never came back. I've been clean coming up, let's see, 2000s, I'm coming up on 13 years clean. And it's not by any power of anything that I've done. It's not by anything I've done. It's by the power of God that lives within me. The third category we're going to talk about is that of God as a conqueror. Once again, God proves that he's a specialist in conquering obstacles in our lives. Can you pull up Judges 2 and 3? Judges 7, 2 and 3, yes. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into your hands, for Israel will become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.' Therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, 'Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead.' So 22,000 returned, but 10,000 remain." Now, can you go on to 16 through 18? He divided 300 men into three companies. He put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them with torches inside pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come out of the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when all that were with him, and when I and all who are with me blow the trumpets, then you also blow your trumpets and all around the camp and say, for Gideon, for the Lord. If you have ever lived your life outside of God's will or simply follow the ways of the world, you will know and understand that there are several things you have to conquer. Families, children, relationships, jobs, health, and just everyday life in general. Some things can be a great hindrance and keep you bound up day after day, week after week, year after year. But when you place these things in God's unchanging hands, you become more than a conqueror. This next story is not a very good one. Okay, but it really shows that God is a conqueror, and God will take care of you when you're in. I don't know if those of you that have been in the DLC, they move you around a lot. Well, there are several prisons in Minnesota. I got sent to Rush City for 9 months. You don't want to ever go to Rush City. Rush City is the new gladiator school. You know, they fight all the time. And when you go in the hall, there's a red siren light. Whenever you see that red siren light, you're supposed to go and grab the wall because you know it's going down. Well, I was stuck in Rush City for 9 months, and I got into a cell, and I got put in a cell with a gang member, and this young man hated me. He hated me because I was going to church, because I was reading my Bible, because I was reading books. And this kid really, and I did not know, and I prayed. I did not know how I was going to, I did not, I knew I couldn't fight with him. Because if I fight with him, see, when you get in prison, you got to click up. You either got to go with the Bloods, you got to go with the Crips, you got to go with the Bloods, you got to go with the Native Style, Native Mob, you know, you got to go with the Bikers. You have to click up, or you can hang out with the Christians. I hung out with the Christians, and we're the ones that are like the least. But you know what? We're the ones that have the most power. Yeah. So anyway, I was in this cell with this guy, and I tried for weeks and weeks. I tried everything to get out of this cell. You know, this man was so bitter. This man hated me so much that there's a code in prison that you're supposed to do when you're out all day. You're supposed to use the bathroom and do your bowel movements when you're outside of the cell. Because once they lock those doors, you're locked in. This guy disliked me so much, he would hold it all day and wait until we got locked in that cell. So God is a conqueror. There was a big fight in the unit. And all the gangs were going at it. And so they locked everybody down. When they locked my cell, there was only one person in there. He never came back. Because God is a conqueror. You see, God will fight your battles for you when you're not able to fight them. You know, it's just like when Daniel prayed and he said, I was over here. He said, Daniel, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer a long time ago. I heard it a long time ago, but I was fighting. I was fighting, trying to get to you. I was trying to make it here. And sometimes things will happen, but they'll happen according to God's timing and not your own. Yes, yes, yes. The fourth and last category we're going to talk about, that God of the specialist is the giver of life. 1 Samuel 1 and 2 and 9 and 11 and 17 and 18. Now there was a certain man from Ramath-Zophar in the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Ehu, the son of Tophar, the son of Zophar, an Ephraimite, who had two wives. One was Hannah, the other was Pananiah. And Pananiah had children, but Hannah had no children. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. And now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat of the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, greatly distressed, and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look upon my affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him, and let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You see, this lady was, Hannah was being persecuted by Hananiah day in and day out because she was unable to give, Elkanah a son. She wasn't able to do it. But that wasn't, but God is the giver of life. He can restore anything and breathe life into any situation. You know, sickness comes upon everybody. Well, not everybody, but sickness comes upon people, and a lot of people just don't know how to handle these situations, and a lot of people just don't turn it over to God. I have a cousin, my cousin Cindy. She's my age. My mom had five sisters, and all of the sisters got pregnant at the same time. So every one of us, I have a cousin who was my same age by all of my aunts. Okay? And so tomorrow my cousin Cindy, you know, she was out there with us when we were smoking crack and when we were drinking and we were running around and doing all the stuff that we were doing. And many of us turned away and stopped doing that. Well, Cindy kind of didn't do that. And now tomorrow, Friday morning, Cindy has to have open heart surgery. You know, she has to have, they have to take her heart out of her chest and replace two valves on the outside and one on the inside. And she's not in very good health. And so if I'm honest, Cindy's worried that she's not going to come off that table, you know. And so Cindy called, this was the most bizarre thing. Cindy's stepfather was Reverend Charles Sanford Jones. She was raised in the church. Cynthia knows better. Cynthia knows as well as I do that we all have to stand before God for how we've lived our life and for the things that we've done. And so she called me. She called my cousin Belinda, the same ones that were out there doing all this crazy stuff years and years ago, but you know what? But we stopped. We stopped and we turned our life over to God. We laid our affliction at his feet. We're no longer there. And so I just thought it was very, very, very bizarre that out of her brother's a preacher, there's deacons at her church. Why does she call us? Why does she want us to pray with her before she goes under the night? What is it? You know what? And you know why she did that? Because God is a specialist. God specializes in these things. You see, God specializes in not only being a giver of life, but the changer of lives. Now the second verse, and I know she knows the second verse of this song. The second verse of this song says, have you ever been on your bed of affliction and the doctor says that he's done all that he can do? Then someone says that God specializes. And if you let him, he can do anything for you. So your bed of affliction doesn't have to be a deathbed or even a sick bed. The doctor doesn't necessarily mean a medical doctor. That doctor can be your pastor, your spouse, your loved ones, your friend, just someone that speaks the word of God into your life. And that reminds you that God is a specialist. So what I need for everyone to understand is that there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too small for God. All you have to do is know that God is a specialist. And if you let him, he can fix it. If you let him, he can turn your life around. If you let him, he can heal you. If you let him, he'll put love in your heart. If you let him, he'll give you the heart of forgiveness to forgive those who've harmed you. Because every one of us seek forgiveness, but it's hard to seek forgiveness when you're not willing to forgive. It's that reciprocity. And so I want you to remember one thing. God is a specialist.
Specialist of all things, right? All things. Even when we don't understand or we don't know, he knows. Sometimes it can be frustrating or we can be in doubt or wonder, but he knows it all. He can get you through it all if you just put your trust and hope in him. My sign I changed today was kind of fitting.